Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that we have the chance to learn and to grow. Open our hearts. Open our eyes, Lord. Let us hear your word. Give us the understanding so that we may go out and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger.
Stop. That just kind of fell off the end.
Mine too.
Uh-oh.
We just had a little bit of a plower glitch. So, yeah. One of those. Yes, it did wait till the end of the song.
No, we're ready.
Praise the Lord. Let's have another song. Amen.
Fill the need. I will.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Well, praise God. I'm going to go over to Colossians this morning. And I'm going to start at about 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Know that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. If you're Jesus's, you're in those bonds. If you're a minister of the word, you're in those bonds. These are instructions to everyone, from children to husbands to wives to servants to masters. They're not loose words. They're words to live by. They're words that should haunt us every time that we don't exactly do what we should. Maybe not haunt you, but definitely come back into remembrance in your mind. These words are given to us because in the natural, in our flesh, we're not going to do it. We'll do the opposite of all those things. You see it in the news every day where those things aren't being followed anywhere around. Men shooting their wives, wives shooting their husbands. People getting mad in the workplace and going in and shooting their bosses. It's in the news every day. It's a shame that this country has gotten so far from the Lord Jesus Christ, that these events are becoming so commonplace that they're no longer shocking the people in this country. People aren't shocked anymore when they see it in the news. It doesn't surprise them anymore. When I was a kid, you hardly ever heard of any of this stuff going on in the world. Oh yeah, there were wars and things going on in different places in different countries around the world, but it wasn't happening in this country. You didn't see as much as you do now. And why is that? Many reasons. But the reasons start from the bottom up, not from the top down. They start with the people that go to the churches and call themselves Christians. That's where it starts. Most of them that are in the churches today calling themselves Christians would run out of a church if they were told the truth. They'd have to go find another one that would make them feel good, that would tell them the things that they want to hear, not the things that they need to hear, the things that they need to know, the things that they need to understand, the things that they need to do. That is where it started in this country. It started in the pulpits and the churches when they decided to become man pleasers. When they decided that it was time that, don't worry about what the word says. We got to make them feel good. We got to have that report card like Davey was talking about last week, you know, up here on the back wall. How much money was given, how many people were baptized, and all the rest of that. Did Jesus have a big thing on the back wall that he carried around with him everywhere he went? None of that matters to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that scorecard on the wall is an abomination to God, because those that work for that scorecard do not work for Jesus Christ. They work for other men. And I say it starts there because with the lack of the church, it went up a step. With the church not standing its ground, with the church not telling people the truth, it went to the next step. The next step being councils and governments. And you look at it now and watch them passing laws and things that are against the Word of God. And what's the church doing? Yeah, you might see a little protest somewhere here or there. But is that protest what Jesus would do? Would he say, yeah, let's go down to this street and have a sit-in and, no. Jesus would gather together as many people as he could. He would tell them the truth. He would give them the words of life. And those people would go out in the world and continue doing just that. That is what Christians are called to do. Pastors are called to teach that to the people who come into their church. Those people should not be in that pew forever. Within a couple years, they should be preaching. Or evangelizing. Or out on the street. Giving out the love and the grace and the peace of God to all those that are out in the world. Not in a pew. Because if somebody's been sitting in a pew waiting for a strike of lightning to hit them for the last 10 years, they are not in a church that Jesus Christ is at the forefront. A church where Jesus Christ is at the forefront, that the knowledge of God is being given out, those people will be moving out and moving on. They'll be progressing. They will be moving up the chain. But we don't see that any longer. The churches are filled sometimes. But some of those churches have people that have sat there in a pew for 30 years and never once offered anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ. If this country is ever going to have a chance to stand again, because it knows no longer standing. Nothing about this country is standing anymore. It's barely afloat. But the only way for this country to get itself back on its feet, to turn things around, to become a country again that was founded on the principles of the Bible, is for Christians and pastors to get up and do their job, to do what the Bible instructs us to do. It's the only way. Otherwise, this country will continue to be a second or third world nation. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And He is the light. And no one gets to the Father except through Him. Amen.
Mercy reigns, Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to go to Romans 15 through 18. Romans 5, 15 through 18. Romans 5, 15 through 18. To put this in context, what it is Paul is talking about how sin entered into the world and how redemption from that sin came back, came to us. And so, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, what brought this up this week for me? I was surfing on the internet, and, you know, I'm a techno geek for people who may know me. And I was at a website, and the website had a video of a girl by the name of Lindsay Sterling. Okay, and I thought, okay, well, let's check this out. And the whole part of this article was that this girl made $6 million last year on YouTube. Now, we can all appreciate $6 million. I don't think many of us can appreciate, me, except for maybe Ricky, what it takes to make $6 million on YouTube. So anyway, she had a video on there, and the video was, she had one in there, and it was, Hallelujah, a Savior is Born. And in this video, she went to a subway station, it looked like it was New York or something like that, set up a little manger scene, got her violin, and started playing. And she played, and they shot this video, and it was interesting because if you look at the people in the video, they all had their little iPods. They all had their little earphones. They were all peering into their smartphone, and they were ignoring everything that was going on. And the point of the message of this video was, do you see the gift? And now, me being who I am, I started crying, actually, when I saw this video. It brought tears to my eyes. It was touching. Because I look at the people in the video, and then I look at myself. Do I see the gift? Do I remember the gift? You know, Paul talks about the gift being given to us. And I look at my life, and change starts here. Change starts in my heart. If I'm not willing to make that change, how can I expect others who I preach the gospel to hear and to make a change? In fact, how can I even preach the gospel if I have not made that change? So I looked at this video, and all these people are running around with their little earphones and their iPods, texting on their smartphones, ignoring everything that goes on. How often am I like those people? For me, It's comfortable being in technology. It's comfortable canceling out the things around me with my technology. Now, I personally don't like being on a smartphone. I hate smartphones. Okay, I don't like texting. But me sitting on that computer is the same as those people on their smartphone. Unless I'm willing, first of all, to make that change in my heart, in my life, and to put forth in the forefront of everything I do that gift that was given, I'm just buried in la-la land. Now I look at my life and I see myself in la-la land. How often do I forget what Jesus Christ did for me? It's easy to walk around, oh, well, God's grace is sufficient for me, blah, 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 and just ignore, really ignore what that gift was given to me for. I need to start looking at that in my life. And I know that as we go forward, those who call themselves by His name, that's what we're called to do. Because there's nothing that I can give out unless it's of Him. And I know that there's a change going on. The Lord is calling together His people. As Bob says, the churches are full of people who don't know God. The church is full of people who are not willing to go forth and preach that gospel. They can't preach that gospel because they don't know that gospel. And they don't know it because they don't have their eyes on the gift. And I know we have a ministers' conference coming up. Part of this ministers' conference, I mean, we're looking at Timothy, 1 Timothy. You know, let us take that to heart. And when I say that, I start with myself. Let's look at that gift and let's receive that gift and let's give that gift out to others. Because it's the only hope this country or the world has is that gift. Amen.
All the angels and the saints sing praise.
give the Lord a cheer.
Praise God.
Well, I'm going to turn to John chapter 5. And as you guys are getting over there, I just want to make a couple quick comments on the things that Bob and Charlie were talking about. One, I mean, if you go through the laundry list of items that Bob was reading about over there in Colossians 3 and 4, basically, that defines for each Christian their marching orders daily. And if you will fulfill those marching orders, you'll be ministering and showing the love of God, and God will be with you, and He will be manifest through you, and His gospel will be shown forth, and people will know that there's another way. So, leaving aside every other person in the entire universe for a moment, because I'm addressing you and not them, truth be told is, let's do that. How are others in another church or anywhere else going to even know that that's what somebody's supposed to do if somebody doesn't show them? So let's be ones that show them. Amen? Second of all, with respect to Charlie, I want to say one thing, and that is, look, Charlie, you cannot do it. I cannot do it. None of us can do it. It is not the work of us, it's the work of God wholly and entirely. And because of that, you can do it. Because of that, I can do it. And see, that's our hope. The part that's our thing is to decide that's what we want to do. Choose to believe God. Choose to step out in faith in what He says rather than what we would do. And from that perspective, I want to turn to John 5. And I'm going to begin with verse 19. We're going to read 19 and 20 here. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. And I'm going to finish this, but I wanted to stop there for a moment. The reason why I'm bringing this up, we are having a minister's convention. Amen? It's going to be here in a couple of weeks. Each of us who are here, including the little children who are here, are called to be ministers, even as a little child. That's why over when Bob was reading in Colossians, Paul had admonitions for the little children with respect to their parents. And thankfully, I actually saw some of that come to pass while I was out in Maryland these last 3 months. And we were showing other children who knew nothing about that. Praise God. But if Jesus could do nothing of Himself, and He is the standard of what a minister can be, amen, let's look at how He did it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. To stand in that place is a place of extraordinary humility. I can do nothing of myself. Jesus stood in that continuously. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. You're talking about the gift and seeing. Do I see it? Do I see it? And like, well, do we believe that God will show us as He showed His Son by the same Spirit? If we do, and we do believe that, and we humble ourselves to recognize that but for that we can do nothing, He will show us likewise, and we can go forward and do it. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So that's really what our ministry should be about. I'm talking about each individual personally. I'm not talking about the fisherman ministry or any Grace Ranch. I'm talking about each of us individually. This is what our walk should be about. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that Himself doeth, and He will shew him greater works than these that ye may marvel. And didn't he promise to his disciples that, you know, the works that I do, ye will do also, yea, far greater works than these shall ye do? So this is a promise that we can walk in if we will choose to believe God and walk by faith in the sufficiency of what Jesus did. Now, if you skip down, I want to skip down to a part. I think it's, let's see, verse 30 for a moment. Same chapter, verse 30 of chapter 5 of John. I can of mine own self do nothing. We have a second witness of it. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. See, what happens, and one of the problems we have as people is we judge so much by ourselves. And we find fault with others because they don't do things the way we do them. Would you ever consider that maybe the way you do them isn't the way God would do it? See, and what happens when you get into this is all of a sudden your searching and your prayers and everything, they change. Because now it's not so much about your brother and or your sister who you're angry or frustrated with and trying to get them to do what they ought to do. Anybody ever have that kind of feeling? I mean, my children were just describing it to me when I came out of visiting with Davey in his cabin today. They were over there and everybody was trying to get somebody else to do what they should be doing. And they weren't having a very good time at it. They're all smiling over there as I tell on them. But we do the same thing. Now look, if we turn our eyes on Jesus and we set our hearts and minds that what we want is what He would have us do. We want to do as He did. He didn't do anything but what His Father showed Him. That's what He did. The words He spoke, the judgment He exercised, everything was not His own. It was all His Father's. And He had a very busy ministry, didn't He, as a consequence? He did nothing of Himself, but you had people continuously coming. You had Him being sent by His Father to foreign lands for one person. Remember that, what was it? She was a Syrophoenician woman, I think, whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. His Father sent Him outside of Israel to a non-Israelite for one woman. And Jesus went, and when He was done, He returned to Israel. So, look, if you listen to the songs we sang at the beginning, almost all the songs you guys sang this morning at the beginning were, you know, let everything I do be in You, right? Let the words I speak be Your words. Let everything be this. Well, look, if you want that, then you got to give up your words. You got to give up thinking you've got something to say. You got to give up thinking that you're somehow something. And you got to come to the place of humbling yourself to realize, no, without Him, I can do nothing. Just as Jesus had to walk. And then what happens is when you're ministering unto others and others are being frustrating to you and things like that, you're going to start learning why there's something with you going on that's making you frustrated with them. And then when you can get past that, now you can be a part of God's ministry to them. But we don't want to do that. We just want to eliminate the thing they're doing that's frustrating to us. Right? Isn't that how we operate? And the fact that there might be something going on with us, well, really? But they're doing this. Yeah, so what? I'm not saying they're right, but if you're going to walk in the Lord, you need to learn what He has for you out of it. And when you open yourself up to that, which you can only do when you humble yourself, you can now be getting shed of all the nonsense and stupidity that we generally walk in and walk instead in Christ as Christ walked before His Father and as the disciples served as an example for us. And as the ministers we have here today continue to serve as an example unto us. And we can grow and we can become one and we can operate as Christ operated. And the one who's going to get all the glory because he's doing all the work is God, not us. Because we cannot do the works of God. Everything in us is contrary to doing the works of God. Everything in us. So the only way you're going to do the works of God is by God. Through Jesus. That's the only way. And when you can get yourself down and humble yourself to stand in that place, God will lift you up and use you mightily. I mean, just mightily. And instead of a place in which your lusts are warring with another's lusts, you will find that you will be part of the way out for others. And that's an amazingly beautiful place to stand, is to be a part of the way out for others. And to watch them find their way out. I mean, all I can say, folks, is that there's no more precious place to dwell than that place where you are a part of what God is doing to show people the way out. And every single person here can do that. Every single one of us can. Amen.
I know what you were saying. And I understand it, but I think I'd rather find my way in. I've been out too long. I'd rather be in. Help others get their way out of their situations and into Christ. Amen. Bob was speaking a little earlier about the churches, the pew warmers. The thought was going through my mind the military, after all, the church has got to get it through its head that it is the army of God. It's raising an army, and his people are armies. Are supposed to be. In John, where he says, as many as believed on him, gave he them power to become the sons of God. He's talking about becoming angels to replace the ones that were cast out in Lucifer's fall. The angels that are going to return with Christ at Armageddon. So he's raising an army, and you're part of that army. But what were to happen? What would have happened when Pearl Harbor was attacked? And people signed up to go to boot camp, to the Army, to the Navy, whatever. And they went to boot camp, and he just stayed there. They just stayed there in boot camp. And no one was sent out to fight because they're all in boot camp. We'd be speaking Japanese on the West Coast and German on the East Coast. And trying to figure out how to do both in the Central States. God calls us to be his disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. A disciple is a student sent to boot camp. And then what did he do? Did he say, you're my disciples, stay that way? No, he said, go make disciples of all nations. In other words, he graduated them out of boot camp and sent them out. Now, I don't have a problem with large churches in one respect. A large church, I wouldn't have a problem with a church that held 1 million people. If it were all ministers who had gone out and were ministering in small churches throughout the land and came together to worship together, to go back out again. Vietnam, they had China Beach. It was a place of recreation, a place of R&R. Today, the church, or the mega church, if you will, should be a place of R&R. But you don't stay there. Ministers should be bringing people up into the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've said it before, Ephesians 4:11, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. The apostles and prophets are to perfect the saints. The evangelists are to go out, preach the gospel, and bring them into the church. I've been in a little error on the last part. Because I've always said the pastor's job was to hog time and keep them there. I was wrong. The pastor's job is to train them in the boot camp, getting ready to go out. And the teachers are to build up their faith and teach them the word that they need when they go out. Yeah, I had it wrong. The pastor's not to hog time and keep them there. He's to beat them, train them, work them, get them ready to go. They go out and bring more in. So you have a constant flow. You have a constant flow in and you have a constant flow out. A constant flow in and a constant flow out. And the church builds and builds and builds and builds and builds until the whole world is covered with people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There could be no Islam today if that had been done since the founding of our nation. If missionaries had gone out and preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the grace of God there, and not Americanism and denominationalism, if they'd gone out and preached the gospel and the truth of what was and is to be told, the world would be covered with people believing. Islam wouldn't have any believers. Because what do? You go to Islam, all you get is hate. Killings. But if you went to Christian, to God, the true God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd have grace, you'd have mercy, you have love, you have healings, you have deliverance. Let's see now, which one do I want to believe in? This guy over here hates everybody. He's going to kill you if you don't do it right. Or this guy here that loves you is going to heal you. He's going to provide for your needs. And if that idiot over there kills you, he's going to raise you from the dead. I think I'll go from the one who raised me from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And how about in India where they worship animals and ancestors and you can't kill a fly because it could be great-great-granddaddy. They wouldn't believe in that crap if Christians did their job. They wouldn't believe in it. Same goes in Africa. It goes in the Orient, wherever you go. If the truth of God and His gospel, Jesus Christ, were preached by Christians everywhere, the world would not be as it is. But the problem is, like Brother Charles said, nobody sees the gift. They're too busy looking for another gift. The greatest gift that could ever be given is set aside so they can ask for things that won't last. Or they can ask for things that make their flesh feel good. Why are we that way? Because every one of us are under the curse of sin. But we don't have to stay there. We can come out of that curse of sin and into the kingdom of God and into the righteousness of Christ through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross at Calvary. But it takes putting your eyes on that cross and keeping them there. I thought one time of nailing my eyes to the cross, but that would hurt. Gluing them there. So I figure it's a case of the will. It's a case of the will to keep looking at the cross. Amen.
Secrets that
a physician. Riches have no worth. The name that once did cover me has been sentenced to this earth.
Tell me
what's going on. I despise my own behavior.
My mild behavior
serves to confirm my suspicions. I'm still a man in need of a savior. Wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. 'Cause all I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation.
worship.
Every word of worship.
Praise God. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the words that have been delivered today. We thank you for the understanding. Most of all, we thank you for being with us at any time, all the time, because we need you constantly. And we thank you for that. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.